Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome to Adulting, the podcast where I pick people's brains about all the things you're supposed to know, from the mundane to the taboo, but it turns out that we actually don't know a lot of these things. So today's guest is Kalpana. She is personal financial editor at Hearst Magazines and consumer editor at Good Housekeeping, Red and Prima. Hello Kalpana, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, how are you?
Very well, thank you. So could you tell us a little bit of how you got into it and how you have so many roles?
Well, why I have so many roles is just because I'm a bit crazy, maybe. I don't know. How I got into journalism, full stop, is, well, one, a lot of determination.
Yeah.
You do need that for anyone wanting to get into journalism. And so I actually started on a what I call a pensions journey. I started working on a title at the FT Group called Pensions Week, which I actually loved. It was a great starting point because it really sort of, it was such a great training ground to become a real news journalist, and I loved it. But then that's how I also fell into financial journalism.
Yeah.
So I did that and I moved around the FT quite a bit doing various things, and also I started writing a bit for the newspaper, etc. And then I went freelance, and that's when all the excitement happened actually for me. So the reason I actually went freelance, one, I thought it was really glamorous that, you know, freelancers sit on a sunbed and sit by the pool
yeah.
while they write articles. It's not like that at all.
No.
But I was also pregnant at the same time because I've got two children, and it just felt like the right time to
yeah.
get try it. And I'm really glad that I did, because I actually, in a way, got to reinvent myself as a journalist, because I went from writing for a B2B to start doing more personal finance stuff.
And was it always finance that you were looking to write about? How did that become your niche area?
Probably by accident. I actually wanted to be an investigative journalist
okay.
where, you know, you go undercover and
yeah.
find all these. So finance is something I actually fell into, but I ended up really liking it. So I just carried on that with that, with my freelancing. And actually, with my freelancing, one of the things that I did do is I created a blog, which was called Mummy Money Matters. And that was, in a way, a turning point for me, because the pickup on that was so high.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing a lot of TV work. So I started working for Channel 4 Super Screen. So I started doing more
yeah.
generic consumer stuff and more personal finance as well. So, and that's how I, and then I actually did do some freelance with Good Housekeeping. And then, you know, build your contacts over time. And I've been doing it for quite a few years, so.
That's amazing. It's so interesting. But what I think that where the gap is, because I think it's great that you're right, you went into an area that had so many more people reading, consuming, taking it in. But the gap seems to be for this kind of information in your 20s. I mean, I know there's Good Housekeeping and things like your blog, but maybe people in their 20s or late teens aren't taking in any information about finance, especially girls. I think the millennial generation, we feel, women especially, maybe because of the way that finance is gendered in the media, feel a little bit lost when it comes to money.
When you say gendered in the media, do you feel that it's too directed towards male readers?
So,
or
yeah, I think when you see like a men's magazine, it's like invest, how to like double your hard-earned cash, and then
yeah.
women's magazines are like spend, splurge.
Yes, so there we have actually seen research on that, in the way the terminology in the press is used, and it might
yeah.
not just be national newspapers or magazines, whatever it is. I actually feel that it's more scaremongering
right.
what you read about in national newspapers. So actually, when you read something and it's so scary, you're going to just shut it
yeah.
and walk away from it. Why would you listen? And actually, but now, and also money's always seen as a taboo subject. And
definitely.
Parents, right? So my parents were actually a little bit open and or certain things, but other things that we just didn't discuss. So I think you pick it up from your parents actually, rather
That's
than
really
the media.
True.
So if your parents are going to be open and talk to you about money, you're more likely to do that as well. And also with your friends.
Yeah.
You don't go out for dinner and start chatting about bank balances
no.
or But what's happening, I feel, within the finance industry as a whole, is we've got this whole new innovation companies coming up, fintech, and they're launching all these amazing apps, and it's gamification, and that's targeted at millennials.
Yeah.
Because, and actually, that really is a talking point, because if I've got a really nice app and it's all about money, I'm going to talk to my friend
and
about
share,
it and say, hey, look at this app, look, it's telling me I'm doing this, and oh, it's brilliant, you should get it as well. And these new challenger banks actually very targeted towards millennials. So without actually naming any, some of them will, again, bring in that gamification into it. So, you know, you can literally put pictures of your goal and it's something to aim towards. It's so visual, and it's really changed. It's not the high street anymore.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So I think the world's changing.
Definitely.
So I think, and they are talking to millennials. I mean, millennials are so well researched at the moment. And, so they are targeting millennials to a certain extent, but women as well. And women, we have so many different life stages.
You're right.
You know, and you know, you can have a child in your 20s, you might have a child in your 40s. And that's just so important to be able to talk to women in the right way. And that's something which I am doing at Hearst now, actually, is working on a financial proposition where we can talk to women of all ages.
Definitely.
And in their language as their friend.
Saw something that you tweeted, actually. It was from one of your articles. I think it might have been an actress that had said it. And it was, I want to teach my daughter that she can earn money so that when she's older, she's never trapped in a relationship with a man.
Absolutely.
And isn't financially dependent. How do you think the economy has changed to, in terms of more women going to more high-powered jobs, or not even high-powered jobs, just earning enough to sustain themselves? And how do you think that's changing the economy or changed the way that money should be managed in media, in general life?
Well, I just think at the moment, generally, and it is people, it's Mira Sahil that had said it, and I was just quite, you know, I really love that quote. No one should be held back by money. No one should be feel like they're forced to stay in a relationship because of money.
100%.
What's changing, I think, yes, women are going into, you know, more high-profile jobs. They're obviously there's all issues with gender pay gap, but
right.
You know, we were so aware of things that we weren't maybe 10, 20 years ago. And actually, young females today, I feel they are a bit more clued up. They're not as clueless
Definitely.
As people might think. They are clued up. They do realize that there's a future and I want to be independent. And I think I see it a lot on social media. You see the hashtags of, like, you know, women who can.
Yeah.
And it's just actually, it's really inspirational for the young girls out there to say, yes, I can, and I am going to do it. And we see such positive role models out there.
Yes.
And I don't feel any of that existed. Actually, I don't think that existed for me when I was a teenager.
No,
I didn't see that.
100%. I spoke to my mum on one of the previous podcasts, and she said the same. She'd never seen, really been around women who were going out into the workforce and putting their career first, which is really interesting. And I agree. I think there's a massive call to action for women to have more autonomy and work. But where I think there might be a bit of lack of understanding is there's the want, but there's no real grounding of understanding of how do we invest our cash? What is the real importance of investing now for the compound interest in the future? And I don't necessarily think that whilst, yes, we all want to be really successful businesswomen, there's a lot of bits underneath that maybe we haven't put together.
Sure. I think there's definitely a lack of financial education.
Yes.
And that has been discussed in politics. And actually, government isn't really doing much to address that. And I actually believe that financial education needs to come to school. Yes, why should you come out of school knowing what investing is?
Yeah.
And unless you take the initiative and go and find out yourself, who's going to tell you about it? And that's where, you know, someone like me comes in. I'm, you know, seeing it as my job to educate and empower
Definitely.
Women to take control of their money, be in charge of it. And actually, one of the things that really annoys me is when people feel that they are taking control of their money by putting it in an average bank account and think, oh yeah, it's getting a little bit of interest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spend this much and then I do this. And but that long-term investing, when you're so young, and I'm going to touch on pensions and but actually, when pensions is something that I learned that when you're really young, you just don't see it as an important thing. And the word pension is actually quite a horrid word.
I think it's quite scary. When my auntie said this to me maybe last year, said, you really need to think about doing a pension. I was horrified. I was like, no way, because I think people associate that with negative connotations.
Death.
Whereas actually, yeah, and dying.
Yeah.
But actually, it is a really positive thing that we should all be thinking about now, really.
Yes. So 20s, absolutely ideal time to start putting away for a pension. But which 20-year-old wants to put money into a pension? Because actually what they want to do is actually, I want to get onto the property ladder.
Right.
I want to retire before I'm 40, so I'm looking for a way to get rich quick. And, you know, but it's that there is a knowledge gap, and that totally has been addressed in so many different ways. And one of the things I'm doing is actually at Hearst is really writing articles where people can look at it and think, actually, I can act on that, and I understand why it matters. Whereas,
and it's just small implementations.
Yep. And again, I think there's a lot of people in the finance industry that are doing a great job, and the inspiration is actually there. It's building. It's getting there as well.
It's just spreading it out.
I met three high-profile CEOs in the last month, and actually those women would not have been there 5 years ago.
No, that's incredible.
And they're, you know, they're leading the way, and they appreciate that. We're going to talk to women. Actually, it's been really scary. Even when you pick up a leaflet about investing or whatever it is, it's so scary. It's so boring. Yeah. It's so dull. Why would you?
But aside from it being scary and maybe the knowledge gap as well, there's the problem that people just don't have any money. Millennials now, there's articles being like set to rent forever. And whilst we've got the problem of this huge chasm between the rich and the poor, social media showing people these luxurious lives that are so unattainable to most people, how does your average Joe millennial, what age can we expect to be financially independent? Because I think, I mean, I am financially independent. Technically, I pay my own rent, I pay my own bills. But there have been times, especially when I was at uni, when I'd run out of money and have to ring my mum or dad and say, I need 50 quid to get some food.
Yeah.
And that's not being financially independent. And that seems to be a trending that's going on later into your adulthood than before.
Absolutely. I think it's a lot harder for students these days as well, because obviously we didn't have student loans before. We now do.
Yeah.
Property market is just out of reach for a lot of people. How do you say, can I just tell you how I did it?
Yes.
So my parents, I mean, I didn't grow up in a privileged background or anything. My parents didn't, hand me pocket money. It was really as and when they had it, they'd give me some if I needed it. It was really when I needed it. I didn't like that, but, you know, it was the way it was.
Yeah.
But I was so determined. I don't know. Maybe it was embedded in me. I don't know. But I wanted to be independent. So actually, I went and got a Saturday job, and that was when I was 15, because you could start working. And I was 15. I applied for loads of retailers, just a Saturday job. And my parents were like, yeah, if you want money, that's what you're going to do. And I worked all my school holidays and every Saturday.
See, I used to do that, but I never, ever learned. To this day, have not learned how to save. I worked from when I was like 14. I used to work at a local. There's like a wedding place. It was amazing, actually, because you used to work like way more hours than you're allowed to, but you'd get so much money from that one weekend.
Course.
But I don't know where it's come from. I just have never learned how to save. I've got really bad, I actually am probably one of the worst people. Yeah. I really need this advice more than anyone else.
It's really, can I just ask, where do you think your money goes? Because is it on needs or wants? There's a big difference.
I actually spend most of my money on food. It's just me not being practical in looking for ways to not buy. I'll just buy like asparagus that's like £1.90. You know, it's just almost me being really stupid and not forward thinking. I don't necessarily spend that much on clothes. It's mostly, like all food. When I was younger, it was doing things.
The reality
it was
is,
friends
I had a really interesting stat, and I'm going to see if I can find it actually. We consume way more than we need, and that's actually, whether it's clothes, food, whatever it is, we just have too much.
Well, I wanted to talk about this. I think this is one of the other problems with social media, is especially when it comes to fashion and fast fashion. There are so many things that people are buying, these YouTube fashion hauls and stuff, that it makes people think that I've got to constantly, one, this whole thing about outfit repeating. Girls think you need a different outfit for every single day, to the point where we're buying so much stuff, which is, one, bad for the environment in terms of the cheapness, the quality, who's making it.
Yeah.
But also, how does it impact the economy if we're not investing in more expensive, more sustainable products? If we're buying throwaway things, what kind of impact does that have?
Well, there's an environmental impact as well, and it does affect your bank balance, because we've got cheap clothes around us now. Primark, H&M, Zara, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's, how many black t-shirts do you have?
Probably like 6 or 7.
Do you need 6 or 7?
Probably not, no.
You're probably better off investing in one nice little.
I know.
Percentage. You know, and I get that, because we are living in a culture where we are just overwhelmed with things being thrown in our face, and we just consume. And I'll be honest, when I had my Saturday job, I was quite good at putting X amount away into savings, and
See, that's beyond such good that, control. I genuinely didn't have
I
that
I was
control.
Very controlled, but I got that from my dad and I'm...
See, that's where I didn't get it from my dad.
It comes from the parents.
Either. Yeah.
It comes from the parents. And it's also about goal setting. My goal was, I want to drive. And my parents were like, well, we're not going to pay for your driving lessons. If you want to drive, you drive. But then when I did pass my test and I was like, I want a car. And I wanted...
You were making those small investments in yourself
already.
Yeah,
so, and I wasn't investing at the time. No one told me about investing. So I was putting it, but the interest rates were quite decent then. So it was fine. But I did go and buy like these tops. And do you know what? Actually, they meant nothing now.
No.
And I look back and thought, actually, I wish I hadn't spent that money. And I probably wore them once.
I am,
because they were cheap.
Yeah, I am bad because I do love fashion. I do like clothes. And I keep saying to myself, and do you know what? My mum said this to me for years about having like a capsule wardrobe. We just have expensive things. But the other problem with that is that's not attainable to most people either, to buy something, whereas most girls could afford to maybe buy a £10 top in H&M once a week. And that fulfills that need that we created to just keep buying.
But we don't need it.
But we don't need it. Yeah. But capitalism is so prevalent and overwhelming for everyone.
Exactly. I just think we as consumers, not just millennials, any age, we have way more than we ever need. We just do. And also, we don't repair things. We don't fix things. We throw them away. If your socks got a hole in it, okay, I'm going to admit I don't ever repair socks. I can't say for the life of me. But, you know, you throw it away.
It's really
you just go and buy,
buy.
It's just so much, so easy to do.
My dad was saying this about darning a jumper the other day when I was with my boyfriend. And I'm like, what's darning? And then he then proceeded to start darning his jumper. And we were like, okay. But yeah, it's very true. You get a hole in something.
You know, you'll
buy
be amazed
one.
At what you can learn from your parents. And
yes.
I actually grew up, my parents came from India in the 60s, so I was a first generation born and bred here. But for them, they came with nothing, and they were building a life as well as bringing up a family. And I watched them at their times of struggles, and I think maybe because I've seen that, I just thought, well, I've watched you struggle, and I'm not, you know, I've seen how hard it can be.
Yeah.
And I think you do learn from your parents.
Definitely.
But if you also pick up the bad things as well. So if you know, I'm not saying millennials should blame their parents or anything, but there is a lot to be said about how you're brought up and what you learn
from
your parents.
The with the baby boomers. Obviously that was a generation of all the loans and all the banks just giving out money. So maybe that is maybe played in a little bit to the millennial idea of just shop.
Yes. But also what I was, you know, you're asking, how does your average Joe get into savings? One of the things I was, everyone needs to be able to budget. You need to know what money you're coming in, what's coming in. And if you want to be independent, yes, you might want to go and get a part-time job, but what do you do with that part-time job money? Do you just go and buy shoes every week, or do you
go out for beers
Do you
every
have
night?
A goal? Do you,
yeah.
If you've got a goal and you can be quite serious about it, and don't get me wrong, I think it's really important to enjoy life, and there's, you know, you should ultimately enjoy life, but if you do have a goal and you do want to buy a house, then there are things that you know you have to be willing to do.
Make
so
sacrifices.
You spend a lot of money on food, you say, so do you plan your meals every week? Do you have a little shopping list, or do you just go to the supermarket, pick up how much food goes in the bin? And you know, it's hundreds of pounds.
It's if
you're talking about
the worst
in terms of waste.
Thing is food. I never actually take things away because I'm very good at eating everything. But it's when I should go to Lidl, which is what I normally do, or Brits and Market, and I buy it. But it's when I'm coming home and I go to one of those like Tesco, the little ones. It's more expensive in there, I swear.
Yeah, they cost more. Yeah, they do.
And then
they
I buy like, because I'm like, oh, maybe did I buy that? And then I'll buy random things I don't need. But if I was good, my boyfriend every Sunday does his shop at 11 and gets exact shopping, and it's like that's his budget, then I'd be fine. But I'm just a very disorganized person, so that never happens.
There's a lot to be said to be being frugal. My mum was always, she brilliant with never throwing food away. That's something I've learned over the years.
Yeah, I think
and
I learned that
and
well.
You know, being a mum of two children who don't always want to eat everything that's on the table, it really annoys me. It's like, you know, I was never allowed to get away.
No,
from
I had to stay at the table until I finished it, which I think has scarred me. And so now I will always
finish. My plate got taken away because I just used to sit there chat.
Oh, and really?
I was like, right, I've had enough of you.
Oh, no.
I was like, I do want to eat it. You know, but it was, I just feel that, you know, there are things that everyone can do. And in terms of, you know, being able to save, like I mentioned those apps earlier.
Yes.
There's technology nowadays that, it wasn't there before. There was no help. You had to physically go into a bank account and make that active decision to put money away and save.
So you're right.
Maybe
the information
thing,
really,
I don't know. But now it's on a phone.
Yeah.
You know, just tap. And actually, I'm going to mention a there's an app, I'll tell you about it, remind me to tell you which one it was. And what it automatically does is, I think it's Chip. It shifts money into savings automatically for you. So it looks at your spending and it says, okay, this amount should be able to go into a savings, and it automatically does it for you. So
that's
there's a
so
lot
good.
And it's actually really good. And I know a lot of millennials actually using that and just saying actually really, or, and there's similar apps for investing as well. And they're just so good.
Because I know certain,
does that
big,
help
yeah,
you?
Certain big corporation companies will, if you pay a bit of your salary, they'll match it into like a pension, don't they? I think
yes.
Some...
So you're every company basically, if you're working and you're offered a company pension, please don't say no. Is I'm gonna say if it's, you should be automatically enrolled if you're earning over £10,000.
Yeah,
and you can opt out, but if you don't, you will get automatically enrolled. So I've come across 20-year-olds who said, "Oh, I don't want to put money into pension. I could do better things with that money." You won't miss that money after
yeah.
a while. And actually, when you're 60, you're going to be really
glad
grateful
that
you did that. So, and that's just something I would say to anyone. If you're working, just say yes to that pension, because actually your employer is going to give you some money, and that's free money. Because if
yeah.
you don't take it, that's it.
I think
you,
it's
no one else
true.
Is
I kind
it.
Of just, spend whatever's there. So
yeah.
I could have a month where, because I'm self-employed, but I don't earn that much, and I'm fine. I'm just really, really frugal. But then the next month I might earn a bit more.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of spend whatever's there. And I don't know, I think this mentality is instilled in me from gendered concepts that I've been so, like, I've had to, like, unlearn
yeah.
growing up.
Do you know what? There's just the simple term that I think everyone should have in there is pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And that pays, put it
so
away.
True.
And then spend. Spend after you've saved.
Yeah, that's
so
really
why,
good.
Why spend all your money? Oh, I didn't get to save. You should be putting that away in savings.
Yeah.
So let's just say you've got £200 for a day, X amount into savings, and if you've budgeted, you should know what your needs are.
Yeah.
So obviously take that into account, do the maths. X amount goes into saving. That's my spending pot. That's all I've
yeah.
got. And that's, I'm saying it's as simple as that. I appreciate
no, it is
that.
Really
when
simple.
You're freelance,
yeah.
your money can fluctuate
yeah.
up and down. There, but you know, you go by what you get in each month, and you've got savings. But then also building an emergency fund because things go wrong in
yeah.
life. You know, whatever it is. You know, you mentioned a boyfriend. I don't know if you live together or not, but if you did and something went wrong, you decided, you know,
yeah.
again, what we were talking about earlier, can you walk out on your own?
Yeah,
are you financially
so true.
Dependent on someone? And I'm so, so passionate about every girl being able to stand on her own two
yes.
feet. And actually, I've had, you know, a family member who hasn't been able to do that. And sort of said, you know, oh, I can't stand on my two feet. So I'm a bit, feel a bit trapped, and it's not nice. I had a friend contact me recently who had been abused, and she's out of the relationship, but she said, I was financially dependent on him, and what do I do?
And it's a shame, because I think that actually was a very common trope in our parents' generation.
Yeah.
A lot of women were stuck in relationships
yeah.
where not only that, but maybe really overarching religious ideas as well, which kept them in marriages and things
yeah.
like that. And one of the most important things you can do, you're so right, is to just make that security. And I think maybe the cusp of the problem is really that people just don't put it at the forefront right now, because I think generationally we are a generation which is kind of in some ways revolting against the system, in some ways kind of saying, I don't want to do what's the done thing actually. But you do, you have to take responsibility, and you
just
have to
live
just,
for today.
Yeah,
live
everyone's
today,
got that attitude where they're like, we're just going to live our best life
yes.
and have all the fun, which is amazing, but simultaneously save. But you've got to like
just,
balance that.
You know, people say money's not everything. But it's a lot of things.
Yeah,
it's
and it's
a
the
lot
currency
of
that keeps
and
us alive.
It's the confidence that it gives you. It's the independence that it gives you. It's the power that you feel by having that control.
Yeah.
Knowing that you put money away. And, you know, anyone that's listening and saying, oh, well, you know, I don't want to put money away for 10 years because I need it now. Well, I went backpacking a few years ago, and I don't know why. I was at the time I was working at the FT, and I took a sabbatical, and I just thought, you know what? I've got this money, because obviously I'd been very good at saving, but I don't want to take all of it with me because that would be a bit silly. So I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I just thought, actually, you know what? I'm just going to go and put it into an ISA, and I ended up putting it in a stocks and shares ISA. It was £2,000, which was quite a nice sum to put away, actually. And I just felt, when I come back, just in case my job's not there, I've got a little bit of money to play with. I haven't touched it for about 8 years. It's now worth almost £6,000. That's
so
the
good.
Power of investment. Yeah. And that was just £2,000 with very little research. It was just the stocks and shares.
Yeah.
And I just, would it have earned that about £4,000 worth of interest? Probably not in that space of time. So it's nice to hear what other people have done. So, and actually, if you're young, you should, the sooner you do it, the better. And
exactly.
It's the same with pension. The sooner you do it, the better, because it takes that time to build. But with the investments, if you've got that money, do it now, because you've got the next 20 years potentially. If you just forget about it,
you can even just put by a really small amount, even if it's like 5% of
you,
what you're getting monthly.
Yeah, you don't need to put a lot, because the whole point of investment is that the longer you leave it,
yeah.
it can grow. You know, there might be times when it dips, but then, you know, it gets reinvested and it grows. It's just letting your money grow. It's being clever with it. And investing is something I think everyone should
definitely.
Do. So everyone's listening, probably going, okay, how do I get into invest? So what I'm going to say is they're probably going to ask you, like, well, how do I invest? Well, actually, if you haven't got stocks and shares, ISA, and I'm going to say ISA because that's tax-free and the current limit is 20,000. That doesn't mean you need 20,000. It could be as little as £1.
Yeah.
Put a small amount into that every month if you can, even if you put £10.
Yeah.
And
that's something.
That's going to be money that's going to grow at a faster rate than any bank account will give you.
Okay.
And yes, there are risks. I have to say that. Obviously, you know, but if you're looking long term, it's almost certainly always going to do you better. So
that's, I completely agree. And now I'm going to go open
so you're gonna
as
go
soon as we finish this podcast.
Stocks and shares one, not
yeah,
cash
stocks
one.
Stocks and shares one.
Don't
okay.
worry about it. You're too young
down.
To worry about the cash one.
So that investment's all
one
and good.
That's long term. Can I just say that's long term?
Yeah.
So, don't, if you want that money in 2 weeks' time, don't.
It's not going to help.
Yeah, that's not what it's for.
But in terms of going back to property investment, what do we do when the property market is so expensive and our income, with that going on, what are we supposed to expect in the future in terms of being able to buy or...
You're doomed. No, it is... I have sympathy.
Anyway.
It is really, really hard. And actually, a lot of millennials probably just say, you know, we're fucked, basically. You know, what do we do? But a lot of people, what they do is some people are willing to stay with their parents for a little bit longer than they anticipated and maybe pay less in rent.
You found that that's a trend? So, like, I was trying to look at, that a lot more people are having to be much more dependent. And do you think that maybe that caught, this kind of lack of financial independence because of external factors is maybe what's causing millennials to be a bit more infantile in there or a bit more resistant to growing up? Do you think it's all having kind of a cyclical effect?
Yes, of course it is, yes. But if you did want to be independent and if you could set yourself a goal to be able to put something away and... but make it a goal.
You can get out.
And there are mortgages that can, you know, your parents can act like a guarantor. You keep up with the payments. There's loads of different schemes around help to buy schemes. There's help to buy ISAs. We've also got the new lifetime ISA. So basically, if you're under 40, I can't remember what the limit is, but you put X amount of money in and the government gives you a 25% bonus.
Oh,
and that
great.
Can only be used for first property or a pension. So it has to be used for that, obviously use a bonus. So there's loads of schemes out there. And I would say, have a look at gov.uk and have a look at, it's gov.co.uk, but you can mention that URL. and there's a few schemes, but ultimately you do need, it's good to have a little bit of, you know, if you're going in with zeros.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Be a lot harder, but I would say if you can use your parents in any way, do use them. The Bank of Mum and Dad are very popular.
Yeah, definitely.
But obviously, you know, some parents don't want to do that and can't even afford to do that. But there, you know, if you can approach them and say, you know, can you be a guarantor? And there's certain mortgages that you can apply for, or you know, But it's just that getting that chunk of money.
Because I think some people also have the issue with, obviously after the recession, so many people's parents were hit so hard.
Of course, yes.
You can't fall back on that.
I'll be honest, if I had asked my parents for that, they probably would have said, well, we don't have any money to give you. But I was always forced to be independent, and I knew that that wasn't a question that I... The most I got was car insurance from my dad, and that's all I ever got. And I did, you know.
But then you've learned so much in
I felt
in your own terms.
I was just thrown into deep end, but I didn't have it as hard as millennials they do today. Yeah. I didn't have to house prices.
Well, my mum was saying they bought their first house. It was all theirs at like 21. She was like, "It was amazing."
Wow!
Imagine, can you imagine?
Yeah, so that's probably not going to happen for a lot of people today.
Because I remember when I was younger, I really thought, this is ridiculous, I have a friend whose mum lives in Maybelle, gorgeous, but obviously I'd never be able to afford that. But I literally thought when I was like 14, I was like, oh, I'll just, when I'm 18, I'll go to uni, and then when I finish uni, I'll have a flat like that. I'll never, I'm 24 now, I don't know when I'll be able to buy a flat, let alone one somewhere like that. And it's really funny because your concept of, it's just the timeline's been very stretched from what you expect.
Of course, yes.
I think as we're starting, it was like most people expect to be financially independent by the age of 23.
Yes.
It's really not the case.
Absolutely. No, it is really difficult. And actually, I know a lot of millennials who do live with their parents.
Yeah.
And partly that's, some of it's cultural as well.
Yes.
Because, I grew up in a culture, actually, it's quite normal to live with your parents until you get married. And if you're, and shockingly, if you're a woman, you go off with your husband and live with their family.
Yeah.
And then if you're bloke, then your wife comes and stays with your family. It doesn't quite happen, but it still does. And a lot of them are millennials because they realise, well, actually, we want
save
to get married,
money.
But we can't really afford to go and buy our own house. So we're going to live with our parents. And
yeah.
Do you know what? Some people actually don't have a problem with it. Some people do. It's probably harder if you're trying to do that as a married couple.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if you might say I'm going to commit for the next 3 years or something,
and a good option.
Stay with my parents, and actually, yeah, parents are going to have to work a lot harder.
Yeah,
in terms of helping their children, and I think that's where a lot of millennials are going to turn to the bank of mum and dad.
Yeah,
and it rocks.
It does. It's very good. Now we have to touch on, because I'm desperate to talk about it, just because it's so in the zeitgeist: gender pay gap.
Oh, yes.
What's been going on with you personally? Have you found anything interesting? I suppose within your industry, it's quite female-led.
It is. And so I won't talk about her specifically.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, to be honest, I'm really glad that this is now out in the open.
Yes.
And people are having to be honest. I'm quite shocked at some of the things I've seen. But what really shocked me is actually I was reading an article on Financial News. It was the comments that were being made around it by certain companies saying, oh, yes, let me think, what's it saying? It was something along the lines of, you know, some skills and knowledge you require higher pay, but it almost like shooting yourself in the foot. Are you saying women do not have that knowledge?
This argument is really annoying. So they're like, it's just
that's
that jobs.
Really
they were like jobs that are done by men. No, it's just that men pick jobs that are paid more. And it's like, no, those jobs are paid more because men are doing them.
Yeah.
And it's also because go back to like hegemonic masculinity, being in schools, boys taught to play rugby, all these ideas of like being fierce, like doing things which are very heteronormatively masculine, eventually lead you to do these high-powered jobs, whereas women are girls are taught to be gentle and do art and be creative. Not that those jobs can't be amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
But it starts very young, this whole idea
so,
of programming you into a...
That gender stereotype, right, really annoys me. So I've got two boys.
Yeah.
So my son, he's just turned 5, and actually he was 4 when he said this. I told him, get your pyjamas on, get in bed, you're getting on my nerves. And he's like, why? And he goes, because I'm the boss, do as I say.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me in the face and said, girls can't be bosses.
You're joking.
And I was like, did he just say
Where has
that?
He learned that at school?
That's what I mean. Where did he learn that? Because
that's,
not in my household.
No.
Right, so I was really, really... shocked by that, actually.
Yeah.
Coming from a 4-year-old's mouth, and his perception was that women can't be. So I said, who's your head teacher? Is she a girl? He calls everyone a girl.
Yeah.
Yes. Who's your actual teacher? Girl. Is she the boss? And he's like, he looked at me and thought, no, you know, she's still not the boss. And so fine. Okay. So we'll address that. And, but then my 8-year-old came up with quite a sweet thing. And because he reads The Week magazine, and I just love him reading that because I force him to read it almost because I want him to pick up on things. And he was reading about the gender pay gap actually, and he said to me, "Mummy, just because men are stronger doesn't mean women should get paid less." And I was like, "Yes, that's true." And it's just stereotypes. But the comments from the finance industry is what really shocks me. When I read that article,
and is it lay people or is it actual people that work for these companies?
Senior people in this industry have been asked to comment on their gender
reasoning
pay gap report, and I was so shocked. I was like, "Really? How arrogant can you be?" So I do feel like there's still a lot of arrogance out there.
I just think the misogyny is so highly entrenched, especially when you're looking up at the top, at the big white man inevitably sat at the top of some industry.
Yeah.
They are going to perpetuate these ideas because that's what keeps them in their privileged position. That's how privilege works.
If you're doing the same job,
you should get paid the same.
They should be safe.
There was a really good, I think it was Danish or something, advert. Did you see with the children, they were made to do the same activity, and then the boys were given a full cup of sweets and the girls were given half a cup of sweets.
I do remember hearing about this, but I didn't actually watch it.
It's so good, and all the children were like, "This is unfair, we did the same thing," even the boys, and they divided it really equally. So you're right, it's taught this injustice is
not a
natural occurring thing.
Yes. And I'm so glad that this has come out in the open.
Yeah.
I couldn't go back to where I worked and know any better. I won't know, but it's something that needs to be out there because actually, women, we're out there. We're doing powerful jobs. We're doing powerful things. We've got powerful opinions, and actually, you know what? Start listening to us.
Yeah,
we matter. And so I don't know if you've ever come across a lady called Helena Morris. She's got 9 children. Anyway, but she's quite often spoken about how she got passed for promotion because she was having a baby. But that argument is not going to go down today. So, if you're pregnant, you want to take a career break for whatever reason to raise a family, it's something you should be able to do without being frowned upon.
But the point of equality is it goes both ways. We're now finally seeing men getting paternity leave, which is amazing.
I think that is amazing. It's shared parental leave you're talking about. So what really annoys me about that, though, is the men that don't take it up. Men haven't been asking for flexible working to the extent that they should do. And I really feel that they should go out there and ask for it a bit more because they don't see it as their job to ask for flexible working. I work flexibly. I have 2 children, but my husband has to work flexibly. But when I freelanced, he didn't have to do that. And he actually probably felt maybe a bit awkward asking.
Like it wasn't his space.
Yeah, he was like, fine. He's very supportive and he's working flexibly. But there's a lot of men out there saying, it's not, I do this, darling. I can't go ask for a working from home day or I can't leave early. So, I was like, actually, you ask, more men should ask.
Yeah.
And actually, that's when the world will become
exactly
equal.
It levels it out. I think that's what people don't see is you've got to look at both sides.
And the shared parental leave actually was in the, I don't know which paper, anyway, I read a report about it and how fewer men are actually taking that offer.
Yeah.
And so the world is changing. So, and I just think women, I don't think anyone should step out in the world and feel that they're not confident, whether it's about money or career or whatever it is. I think, actually, you probably are very good at whatever you're doing and take control, and you can. And just don't be afraid to ask. If you don't know something, if you don't know about investing, there's so much information out there nowadays. Pick up a magazine.
Yeah.
Up a magazine, read about it. Follow blogs and podcasts.
You've got to go out and search for it. There's something I spoke about on my Instagram story
the other
day. You have
to be proactive.
Yeah. About what you were saying about having confidence and how it's so funny. Women are always asked, where do you get your confidence from? You don't have to have a reason to be confident. Yeah. You're allowed to just have that self-belief. No one has ever gone up to any man and gone, where did you get your confidence from?
Yeah.
It's just not a concept. And it's like when you're applying for jobs and women will only apply if they're 60% sure. 100% sure they can do it. And a man has to be only around 60% sure and he'll go for it. I think,
of course,
seeing a woman like you with 2 children doing all these different roles, being really successful.
I'm crazy.
No, but it's amazing and it's so nice to see. And also you're still being humble about it. If you were a guy, you would have stormed in here and told me about every job you've had and how little sleep you've had. And I think women need to be more like, this is amazing and it's so incredible.
I do get asked quite a lot, how do you do it all? I mean, last night I got home and actually I shot off to the gym and then I came home.
Oh God, so it makes us all feel bad now.
But I got the kids ready this morning and, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Just stuff like that. And it is really hard. But I don't feel anyone should say, can you have a career? Can you have a family? Or can you have a career and do whatever? And, you know, millennials, and we're talking about flexible working, actually, that very much applies to millennials, because actually a lot of millennials do want to work flexibly.
Yeah.
So it's not just parents and, you know, families. It's everyone wants to have that.
There's definitely an
there's a change in culture there. So as a millennial, I don't feel that you should be afraid to go into a job and say, is there flexibility in the way I work? Does it have to be 9 to 5 tied to my desk? Because it's not, I don't think it's just a mum or dad thing.
No,
it is really hard. And I just feel that the world's a very different place. And actually, if I was starting out in the workplace today, probably would want some sort of flexible working. And actually, I don't know how you put, but you know, you say you're self-employed, and actually it's quite unusual to come across someone in their 20s who's self-employed, but a lot of millennials actually do want to be self-employed.
It's increasing. I've actually got loads of friends who've just gone, actually, I don't want to work for someone who's going to dictate to me. Yeah. I'm just going to go and set up my own business. I think it's becoming more, we're quite an entrepreneurial generation,
I think. Absolutely. And I actually totally, you know, I feel inspired by that because, you know, I have a blog and actually, you know, it makes a bit of an exciting for me. I wanted to go back to work because once you've had children and you spent, you know, the last few years talking to children, you just want to go and spend time with adults.
Yeah.
But some people just want that balance. They want to work. They want to do.
I think there's this concept of like side hustle. Yeah. Exactly. So this
took
is
the
what,
words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Someone spoke to me when I did an interview. She's saying that her friend runs a business, and for the younger people, he lets them work 4 days a week. They work slightly longer hours.
Yeah.
And he has to give them 3 days off because they all have other things that they do.
And that's fine.
And they won't take
amazing.
A job. Me too. And I think it's really good. But I do think that what's happening with technology and social media and just the way that we're making the world almost easier, it just means there's just more time for work.
Yes.
And everyone's just working more and more. And then if you have to have a side hustle and do your social media and be a mum and everything else, I think we're going to drive ourselves insane.
You can do it though.
Yeah.
Because do you know what? I think employers are expecting millennials to come in and say, I only want to work 4 days. They are expecting that. And millennials are expecting to go in and do that as well. And I, you know, I just feel that if you went in for a job, and you look at the person interviewing you and you say, is that where I want to be in 20 years time, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Is it? Well, you know, if that person's inspired you and you really want to be there, great. And, you know, I work with some amazing women here and I love it. And I'm, you know, over the years, I hope that I will learn a lot from them, even at this stage of my career. But I've worked in places where I just think, I do not want to be here in 20 years time, you know?
Yeah.
And actually I can see why it's nice to have that side hustle.
I think that thing's changed because I remember speaking to my uncle once, and this was a few years ago, and he was just flabbergasted that one, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and two, I didn't necessarily want to go to something definitely vocational. And he was like, no, you've got to work yourself to the bone, basically, and then retire. Because that is such an old fashioned idea where you take a job, you get any job you can get, and as much money as you can, save, get retire at whatever age. And we've gone, I think that's where this resistance comes in. Randy was like, no, I want to enjoy my job.
Of course.
I don't mind if I maybe don't make as much money. I'd rather make every kind of minute of my day a bit more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's something that's changed?
I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. And again, it does really come back to how you, what's been embedded you, bit into
and
your brain by your parents.
Point of privilege as well within society.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I come from an Asian background, and actually going into journalism was like, what? Journalism? Media?
Yeah.
What on earth is that about? You know? I just kind of, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And actually, even then, it was just like, I'm just going to do what I want to do and see where it gets me in life. And I just think it is important to work. And I see a lot of things on social media where there's a lot of inspiration, quit your 9 to 5 and do
that's
this.
Quite dangerous, I think.
But what I say is quit your 9 to 5 and you're going to be very unhappy when you have absolutely no money and a huge pile of debt, because that's the worst thing that can happen to anyone, is where you know you're just so into enjoying life, you're so into, I want to do my side hustle and I don't care how much, because I'm just going to enjoy it and actually what you're doing is building debt. I think you've got to have a good balance.
Yeah.
I mean, don't be stupid along the way, if I'm honest.
No, you're right. You're so right.
Sensible.
Yeah.
If you can be sensible in life, why, you know. So, yes, get a job, earn some money, build something. So if you do want to do side hustle and you don't know what it is, and you do, I'm absolutely into doing side hustling, no matter what your age.
Yeah.
You know, do something on the side that you want to do, but don't just quit your job because someone's on social media saying, look at me, I quit my, don't fall for quick, you know, get rich quick schemes, because everything needs a bit of hard work and determination. So I don't believe in any of that, basically.
Yeah.
Hype, if you
I
know
think
what I mean.
There definitely is this idea that I have loads of friends who've just gone traveling and kind of haven't come back yet. But that at some point, I feel like everyone's just putting off. I spoke about this
go
bit in the first episode.
Yeah,
definitely go traveling. But there's like a waiting room. So uni's like the waiting room where you finish school, but you haven't quite entered real life. And some people just kind of extend their stay by going traveling or not really. But at some point, you're going to have to enter back in and pitch it. I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you can emancipate yourself from everything, including capitalism, consumerism, and all the rest. But
of course, I mean, I, you know, I just, like I said, I think it's really, really important to have a balance. Actually, someone emailed me a couple of weeks ago and saying, I'm really fed up with my job. I'm so fed up. So, and she was actually writing the blog. She goes, so I'm just, can you give me some ideas how I can make money from my blog? And I'm just going to quit my job. And I was like, well, what do you have in savings? She's like, well, not much, but I'm just so don't like my job.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you see if you can go part time and then work on your blog, but don't just quit
and
work on your blog. And because you're going to be, if you're sad now, you're going to be very sad when you've got no money. And
definitely.
I said, work part time or build a, you build something, you know, a basis to, you know, work on.
Even with social media, I think the problem is as well, obviously I work technically as a social media influencer, but I hate that. But I'm also a personal trainer and I do like to do online coaching, and I have to, I don't get my whole income, I wouldn't be able to afford to, from social media, just because there's certain things I wouldn't do at my stage, which I can, the only things I can get are things I don't necessarily want to do, kind of thing. But I think people view it as suddenly you might notice someone pop up on social media and you think it's overnight, but people blog for years and years and years before. There are some people who are amazing and will get a million followers in a few months and make a killing. But a lot of people, for me, I did like blogging for 3 years before it was really anything that I ever made money out of.
Mm.
And even now it's probably just a similar income to my friends with quite normal jobs. And it's not actually a quick fix. I think some people think now because it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
It's not instant. It does take background working.
And it's pretty much round the clock sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you can't just
switch
it
off. No.
If you want it to, if it's going to be an income stream. And we're talking about blogs specifically, but there's loads of other things that people do. I just don't look for the quick fix. It's, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the life of anyone,
in
my opinion. I wouldn't say that to my children. Just, you know, sit around and hope that it will, the world comes to you. No, you go out in the world and you go and get what you want. That's the way I see it.
And it's an investment in yourself as well. If you if you take that time, it's all about your well-being and like finding something you love, fine.
Yeah.
But you might have to work for the, you might have to make cups of tea
for
a month or 6 months as an intern before you get to do the thing
Hopefully
you want to
do. Hopefully not that long.
Yeah, I know. That would be, especially if it's unpaid.
If it wasn't being paid, and then you made loads of teas.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And, you know, people, I get approached by a lot of journalism students, and I'm like, oh, how do I get that? And I always say to them, you know, be determined.
Yeah.
And don't give up. Don't let other people put you down, because I've been put down so many times in my life by family members or just people making snidey remarks about something like that. I'm going to do it and I'll show you, because I, you know, it's not just like, oh, talk. It is, I just think, if you really want something, you go out there and you can get it. If you really want to say you want to be rich, go out and invest your money. Don't go into Primark
and
buy t-shirts every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go buy no, you know, learn to budget. Learn to know what your needs are, what your wants are, and get that balance. Don't be afraid to work hard. Don't be afraid to save hard, and just, you know, and have goals.
Yeah.
Know what you want, because it's very hard to save if you haven't got a goal.
I also think it's really important that you realize that whilst enjoying your life's great, you actually don't get any bounce back if you're not working hard. Things don't, like, it's like food doesn't taste as nice if you haven't bought it. You know, like when you make something and it tastes really good because you've made it.
Yes.
It's like when you work hard, you can't have the highs without the lows. So if you're the other pressure I think people find is a lot of friends want to go out every night. You can be that person that says, actually, I'm not going to go out every night. I'll go out on Friday because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you have to decide that actually I'm going to work hard so that I can play hard.
Yeah.
But everything is feels better and is more enjoyable when you've got a balance.
Absolutely. It's a bit like, and I'm not saying that anyone should really go on a diet, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you're trying to get into a certain, I don't know, what, let's just say you're going on a diet or you're trying to get into a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah.
But you're going out every day.
Yeah.
Really? It's a bit like that with money, though. It's like, well, I'm trying to save, but you're going out pretty much every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend, and it's not cheap. So I just think it's, you know what you want in life. And have those goals in mind. Because I always find it's really hard to save if you haven't got a goal. I think it just helps mentally.
Yeah, I agree.
Know what
it's the same, that it makes complete sense.
If you have
sense.
To print a picture off and stick it on your wall, do it, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, when I learned to save, well, I didn't have a goal actually when I was probably about 10 when my dad took us to a high street bank account, opened a savings account.
Yeah.
But it was a passbook, so you can actually see.
I had that, like a nationwide one. I loved it, because they put the little stamp.
Yeah,
there,
and then you see how much you get, and I really loved seeing that figure go up. Yeah. Like, wow, this is great.
So, I remember I used to get like 70p interest as well. Like every you get like a little bit of interest, you'd be like
and
really
it's just
excited.
Such a visual thing.
So true.
It really worked. And it's a bit like that, as you grow up, I think, you know, it's the same sort of thing. You know, just... I'd say just go with the app because that's all you need nowadays. It's on your phone. It's at your fingertips.
Yeah.
And just what you will just love watching your savings grow.
Yeah.
Download the apps like Chip, for example. And that's just one that I'm mentioning here. You, if you want to get into investing, there's ones like Moneybox, for example, automatically invest money for you. You know, you have to look at things like what the fees are because you don't want them to be too high.
Yeah.
Don't go to High Street to open a stocks and shares ISA, for example.
Okay.
And go to sort of specialties like, well, you can ask me later on if you want, but do you know, there are things that, you know, do it right. But I just feel everyone could get there with a bit of guidance.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just an active choice. I think that's what you've got to do. You've just got to actually decide that right now, actually, I am going to take responsibility. Finance is something I need to think about.
Yeah.
I think for so long, it's something that you're very much not in control of, that when you are, a lot of people go, I'll do it next year, or I'll start when I'm older.
It's putting it off, isn't it? And we do suffer inertia. Everyone has inertia, and it's whether it's finances or you will put off things that scare you or you just don't really interest you. And we all do it.
And then once you do it, you always feel better. It's like when you're like, oh, I don't really know if I want to go to the gym, and then you go.
And actually,
and like,
oh,
I feel
really
so
good.
Much better now. I've just done that.
Yeah.
And it's just habit. Then once you have that sorted, you know what? I'm so excited to go home and like organize my finances now.
And you can just like phone me up and just help you. And that's fine. But you know what? It's just like simple things. And also we you know, creatures of comfort, aren't we? As well, we get too comfortable with things. And it could be something simple.
And you don't know how,
and it's just so comfortable, sitting in, the bank accounts that you can go to now, there's so much choice, and actually you can get one that serves you better. And I, you know, I remember asking a friend saying, oh, how long have you been with XYZ? Oh, since I was 18. I was like, well, why? What could you get from them? You could get, if you've got, you know, you could get a better service, some sort of interest rate. And I, she's like, oh, yeah, but I just can't. It's just been there since then. So but don't step out of your comfort zone.
Be bothered.
Step out of that comfort zone. We all need to as well. And it's a bit like that with jobs as well, I suppose. Over the years, you could get very comfortable.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, and again, you know, I just feel everyone should have a goal for almost anything that they really want to do. And aim high.
Agreed.
There's
especially
wrong
women, no more imposter syndrome, because I think that's the biggest.
Keep taking words out.
Sorry.
I get imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. This is not me. And actually, you know what? I'm not going to say get over it, because we do get it, but I don't feel that you should, you know, let that stop you, really.
Act like
just do it
the
anyway.
Mediocre middle class white man, isn't that a thing?
something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just, for me, it's just, I've always been determined and I always, you know.
And hard work pays off, clearly.
And, you know, I'll work. Sometimes I do more than I should. Sometimes you get out of your way. I just think you have to be clever about it as well. Don't be stupid, you know. Don't go and work 12 hours and only be paid for 6 or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. There's a lot to be said. Just be sensible.
Yeah.
I sound really boring now.
No, you don't sound boring at all.
Be sensible.
No, it's not boring.
But,
I think
you know,
it's...
I know as a mum, you know, I do find it quite hard to sometimes, my children are still quite young, and it's very hard to actually say to them, you know, you can't have Pokemon cards because they're ridiculously expensive anyway. But trying to teach them that as well.
I think the problem, one of the reasons we're like so disenfranchised from it is because we're like, finance is boring. Finance isn't boring. Finance is actually really exciting when you think about
it.
It could be you get to go traveling, or like, finance is really sadly essential in so many areas. We need to stop being, it's boring, it's mundane, because it's not. It's going to be the power for you to do so many things.
It is a power base, actually. I've been lucky enough to be able to save and have it. And actually, when I went backpacking, I don't think I could have done that if I didn't have savings, because actually my mum and dad would not have funded it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have wanted to go on a credit card. But having said that, a credit card's a good thing to have, as long as just to build your credit rating.
Yeah, so, I haven't got one yet, but I will do that when I remember.
Just spend small amount on it.
And you can put a direct debit into it, can't you?
Yeah, pay it off immediately, so you're never paying interest. But it's just a way of building your credit score, and actually that can something that can help you get onto a property ladder, because when you apply for a mortgage, there's such a strict criteria now. So actually they will look at spending habits and say, well, you're never going to be able to pay back a mortgage. So
if you've already had something to pay back.
But if you've shown that you're responsible when you're borrowing, it really helps build up that credit score, and something that everyone should check.
Yeah,
what their credit
definitely.
Score is. And so it's all positive, I hope.
Really positive. It's been so helpful. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed it as well.
I know, I really, really enjoyed it.
I feel like I've learned a lot, and I feel like a lot of our listeners will have learned things as well. If people want to follow you more, obviously you edit Good Housekeeping Creamer and Red, right?
I'm the consumer editor. Good Housekeeping, Red and Prima, but I'm also the personal finance editor at Hearst.
And do you have what's your Instagram, Twitter? Any handles we can follow
you
on?
So, Instagram and Twitter is both at Kalpanafits. That's KALPANAFITS.
I'll pop that in.
I'll say that, Kalpanafits, I think that's on Instagram as well, yeah. I'm quite responsive on Twitter. So,
are you still doing your blog?
I do have a blog called mummymoneymatters.com.
Cool.
Yes.
So people can check that out as well.
You can check that out and find all sorts of information on there.
Amazing.
And I'm very accessible. So if anyone wants to get in touch and ask me a question, shout out on Twitter, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kalpana. And I will be speaking to you soon, I think.
And thank you for pronouncing my name perfectly.
I know.
Great.
Because my name's really hard. So I know how, you know, when people get it wrong. So I stress. Kalpana.
I'm always very forgiving, so don't worry.
Yeah. No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.